Let me invite you again to take your Bible and open to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. Parents just naturally love to brag about their children. Have you ever noticed that? Grandparents just naturally love to brag about their grandchildren. And whole industries have arisen by this natural desire to brag about those that we're fond of and that we love and that we enjoy watching in various competitions. The whole world of trophies lends itself towards that whole thing of bragging and the desire to brag. And we all want bragging rights when our children begin to excel in soccer and t-ball and basketball and track and all the different things that they are involved in, music and art. There was a time, I suppose, and I almost can remember that time when we just ever had three trophies that were given out, first, second, and third place. But now you get trophies. In fact, everybody gets a trophy for participating. And you get trophies for most improved and best sport. And the list just goes on and on. And it's not uncommon for a child to have a whole wall just filled with trophies, what used to look like a whole trophy case. Full of items for which to be proud. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing for children to feel the pride of their family members. You know, the two most meaningful things that my own dad ever said to me, it was not a trophy, just words, but they were the most meaningful things he could have ever said. Those two phrases were these. When he said, I love you. And my dad, I was fortunate. My dad regularly told me that he loved me. And secondly, he told me, I'm proud of you, son. And that meant the world to me to have him say those two things to me. I love you and I'm proud of you. In Hebrews chapter 11, you see that list of the men and women of faith who are mentioned there as serving faithfully as examples for those who followed. And they were paid the highest possible compliment by God Himself. There in that same chapter, we read these words, God is not ashamed to be called their God. I can't think of anything greater than that, than for God to look at me and to say, Joe, I'm not ashamed to be called your God. Greatest of all compliments, that kind of pride coming from our Heavenly Father. It's critically important, though, that parents give positive feedback to their children and to give the greatest praise for the things that are most important. Now, we need to brag on our children, and we need to encourage them, and we need to give them pats on the back, and we need to be positive in our influence. But it's critically important that we focus on the things that are most important. You don't just dish out the same praise for anything that a child does. Some parents lavish praise on a child primarily for their athletic accomplishments, and yet only offer minimal support and encouragement and praise for the spiritual progress that they see in their child. Now, we as parents know the difference, but we need to demonstrate that difference in the way we build our children up and the priorities we set for them in the praise that we offer to them. Only two times in the ministry of Jesus did God ever go public in His praise with His Son. Do you remember those two occasions when God actually spoke down from heaven audibly? He was so proud of Jesus. The first time was at the baptism of Jesus. And then the second time was when He was on the Mount of Transfiguration and when He spoke there with Moses and Elijah about His upcoming death. He was prepared to go down that mountain turn his face steadfastly toward Jerusalem and go to the cross to save the world. On those two occasions, God said the same thing. This is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased. Now you know what that did for the heart of Jesus. To have his Father speak audibly from heaven and commend him and brag on him and praise him and let him know just how pleased he was with what Jesus had done and was doing. God loves, even today, to brag on his children. He loves to brag on us in part so that we will learn to prize the behaviors that he esteems. He wants to praise us for doing the things that are most important. You know those citizens in Judah to whom Jeremiah was preaching? Those people who were there in the shadow of coming doom. The Babylonian armies were being marshaled. Nebuchadnezzar was on the move. Soon the city would be surrounded and the city would be destroyed. But those people were valuing the wrong things. And so God gave a message to Jeremiah and he said, go and explain to these people the things that they ought to be boasting about instead of the things they are boasting about. So Jeremiah began to speak to them, and he began to try to help them, if they would listen, to rearrange their priorities. He wanted them to value what was most valuable of all. Now, having said all of that, listen again to these words spoken by Jeremiah here in the latter part of that chapter 9, in Jeremiah chapter 9, down in verse 23 and 24. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. You see, the contrast here in these verses is between what they have been boasting about and what God wants them to be boasting about as his children. And the word boast here in the Hebrew is the word hallel. That's the Hebrew word for praise. It's used so frequently in the Old Testament that when it was translated into the English language, it was transliterated. It's like baptism in the New Testament. Baptizo just came straight out of the Greek and was placed into the English. And so we use the Greek form of the word still today, baptize. It wasn't translated in the English, immerse. It was transliterated. That means you just take the original word and stick it right into the new language. Hallel was pulled right out of the Hebrew and stuck right into the English language. And so when we talk about praising God with the hallelujahs, we're using that Hebrew word, that root word of hallel. And we're just using the exact Hebrew word that those people use. Tonight you've learned to speak Greek and Hebrew already. You know a little bit of, in each of those. Facing the coming enemy of Babylon, these people were holed up in Jerusalem, but they were bragging about their own strength and their own wisdom and their own riches and how secure they were as they were about to face this enemy. They were wise and they were strong and they were rich. But God was far more concerned that they excel in understanding who he is. Then they would be bragging. If they understood who God was, they would be bragging about kindness and justice and righteousness on this earth, because those are the qualities that God delights in, that God esteems, that comprise the character of God Himself, and God wants us to be like Him. And so God wanted them to be exercising these qualities among themselves, and yet that was not the case. It's really interesting because, you know, sometimes we look at those people back then and we think, you know, they were so ignorant and they were so far from understanding the nature of God. And yet, I think we do the very same thing. One of our statesmen, one of the wisest men that our nation has ever produced, a fellow by the name of Benjamin Franklin, he wrote all kinds of wise sayings. And there's one that's so famous that nearly everybody knows it. Remember how it goes? Early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Now, look here, again, in chapter 9, in verse 23, what were the three things they were bragging about? They were strong, healthy. They were wealthy. They were wise. They must have been going to bed early and following Ben Franklin's advice. They were bragging about the very same things that Ben Franklin says, if you'll just discipline yourself and get in bed early and get up early, you'll develop these qualities, health, wealth, and wisdom. Now, I'm not saying that health, wealth, and wisdom are wrong, because God gives us these gifts, and we pray for these gifts, rightly. But they are secondary gifts to knowing God and the qualities of who God is. Now, what do we mean when God says, I want you to know me? What do we mean when we say, I know God? Well, it means that we have experienced life with Him. You know, occasionally somebody will bring up someone's name and I have a long history with that person. And I say, oh, I know him. I've known him for the better part of my life. I can tell you stories about him. We know what that means on a human level, and it means almost the same thing on a spiritual level. To know God means that I've been through hard times, and He's been right there with me, and I've been through great times, and God has blessed me and been the source of those good times. I learned stories about Him from my childhood, and I learned how He dealt with people on all kinds of occasions, and I've read stories about His patience, and I've read stories about times when He's had to discipline His children, and I've seen those things. For me, it means that I respected Him and His Word enough, and I understood enough about Him and enough about me that at a young age, I submitted to Him in baptism, and that I have experienced His patience and His forgiveness again and again and again. And I can look back at this stage in my life over a long track record of God's walking with me and of my faithfulness, not always perfect, but my faithfulness through life to Him. And I've seen the times that God has saved me from myself. Have you got some times like that in your life where God has just snatched you from the fire? I've seen His hand in all times of my life. And I'm ever learning, even at this stage of my life, I'm ever learning more about Him through His Word, and I'm seeing those truths about God mirrored in my own experiences. And I say, you know, that's true. That's how God deals with me. Jeremiah explains what it means to know God by using Josiah. He was that good king that had come earlier. And he uses him as an example. Flip over for just a moment to Jeremiah chapter 22 and notice what he says here about Josiah. Jeremiah speaks of Josiah there in chapter 22 down in verse 15. And this is what he has to say. Does it make you a king to have more and more cedar? Did not your father have food and drink? He did what was right and just. He's talking about good King Josiah. So all went well with him. He defended the cause of the poor and the needy. And so all went well. Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord? When you know Him, really know Him, you begin to act like Him. And you do the things He did. Josiah defended the cause of the needy. And in that, he was just like God. And God says, that's what I'm talking about when I say, know me. Act like me. Back in chapter 9, verse 24, he says, let him who boasts, don't boast about health, wealth, and wisdom. Boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness and justice and righteousness on the earth. For in these I delight. You want to delight God this week? He tells you how to do it. You can, in the morning, you can plan out your day and you can include some of these things, knowing for a fact that your day will end and God will look down upon you and He will be absolutely delighted. You'll make Him proud by doing these things. You see, when we are involved in God's righteous acts, that's how we come to know Him. When marriages are saved, have you ever been instrumental in helping save a marriage that was on the rocks? Have you ever listened and counseled and helped and encouraged? Let me tell you, when you do that, that's an evidence that you know God, that you're involved in a righteous task. Have you ever been involved in some serious wrong being forgiven? Either you yourself were willing to forgive, or you talked to someone else who had been badly hurt and you helped them let go of that bitterness and that hatred. You know God when you do things like that. When ways are mended, a life has been changed. Maybe your own life has been changed. When addictions are overcome, when kindnesses are shown, when service is rendered. Folks, that is knowing God. Those are the things that absolutely delight God when they're seen in our lives. You know, we sometimes miss that third element in Jesus' self-proclamation. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. What we've talked about tonight in knowing God, that's the life. Acting like God, doing what God does, living righteously, reflecting well on Him. That is the abundant life that Jesus spoke of, that is a duplication of the life of God Himself. Now, I want God to be proud of me and all that I do. And I want one day to stand before His throne and plead the blood of Jesus Christ. And having done that and having given all the credit and all the glory to Jesus for anything that I've accomplished in this life, I hope to hear those words from God Himself. Well done, good and faithful servant. Let me tell you what your goal is if you're a Christian. Your goal is to live a righteous life, honoring the things that God most honors, and to spread the good news of Jesus to everyone you can share it with. In a nutshell, it's this: make God proud and make Jesus famous. That's your task as a Christian. That's what we're to be about. That's what God is delighted in. That's what God most honors. Tonight, if there's any way we can assist you, either as you render obedience or as you ask for prayers, we want to do that. But I just hope all of us, as we leave, will resolve every day this week to do those things that we know clearly, because we've just read it here in Jeremiah, that we know clearly will make God a proud Father of each and every one of us. If you need to come, we invite you to do that while we stand and while we sing.